This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The sports editor for the Japan Times, his name is Dan Ulowitz. Dan, good to have you on FNR, and I trust you're going to make some sense of that game last night that saw Japan take on Turkmenistan.
Me and yes, it was certainly 90 minutes, and it wasn't really the best look, was it?
No. The last thing I expected to see was Japan get itself into so many awkward situations.
It certainly wasn't a great start. I think that considering that it was really Moriyasu's first game, first competitive match. After the five fall friendlies, we expected things to be a bit wonky. And after all, no matter who you're playing at the Asian Cup, as we saw in the game the other day, you know, even the best of the best can struggle against some of these teams. And I think that Japan just got off to a weird start. And when the Samurai Blue don't play with confidence, they tend to seek themselves into a hole. Shuichi Gonda was, you know, he didn't play that first goal by Turkmenistan well. It was just a ball that, in the league, he probably would have stopped. But here, he just goofed, and they had to play out of it. And fortunately, Osako was in the position to score two goals and give them the lead. And once they had the lead, they had their confidence back. But overall, it certainly wasn't really a great display.
We're talking to Dan Ulowitz, the sports editor of the Japan Times. The line not quite as good as we'd like it to be. But Dan, I love the expression you said, he goofed up. Look, goalkeepers normally either look like they're custodians, the nothing will pass, or they look like gamblers and you never know what you're going to get in the next raid or foray. And last night we saw a goalkeeper who was full of questions. Is he going to stay the journey?
I wrote about this in a column that's coming out today, so it's very good for you to ask me now. The issue that Japan faces, we have a goalkeeper drought. we don't have any goalkeepers. Because if you look at the three who were called up to the Asian Cup going into the tournament, Masaaki Higashiguchi had 6 senior caps. Shuichi Gonda had 5, or excuse me, Higashiguchi had 7. Gonda had 5, and Daniel Schmidt had 1. So there's your goalkeeper core. We had Eiji Kawashima at the World Cup, and he had, I think he was over 100, or if not close to, he had 88 caps. Overall, Shusaku Nishikawa, who was the next sort of next in line, he hasn't really been in the mix recently for the Samurai Blues, sort of on and off. But he has 31, so we definitely brought in. I would say goalkeeper is the least experienced position in this Asian Cup squad. We should have had Kosuke Nakamura from Kashiwa Reysol in the squad, but he dealt with concussion issues in 2018, 2 concussions in May, and I think the second one was in August or September. But he should be the starter at the Asian Cup because he is widely considered the goalkeeper of Japan's future. So to not have him there is a disadvantage. But all of that said, Gonda is a very talented goalkeeper. He had a great year at Sagan Tosu. They gave away the second fewest goals in the league, I believe, tied for second fewest. And he's actually bound for Portugal during this winter transfer window. So he had a bad day. I'm not so confident that he is going to be our goalkeeper going forward. I think that Moriyasu will look at him and look at Higashiguchi and probably flip a coin If I was Moriyasu, I would personally give Higashiguchi the start against Oman on Sunday, but I'm not just a sports writer, so take that what you will.
What I make of that is that there are goalkeepers who thrive in tournament conditions, and there are others who don't. And he may well be one of those. He may well be, as you said earlier, capable of some terrific form. But tournament play demands something else. And some of them, or some players, rise to the challenge and others shrink. And he may well be one of the shrinkers. You mentioned Moriyasu. He seems to have decided very early on to move a lot of Japan's experienced players, people like Kagawa and Inoue, in favour of youth, and also finding some of the new talent in the J-League. Is that your considered view too?
We were due for a generational transition, and I think that our previous full manager, Vahid Halilhodžić, attempted that transition, and he wasn't successful. Akira Nishino went for broke at the World Cup with a very veteran squad and succeeded to some extent. But after that, when they brought Moriyasu in, I think to have a manager be in charge of both the national team and the Olympic team is a statement of intent to go for youth and to go for that generational change. I think that there is still some talent to be found in the J-League. That said, the majority of our most talented players are going to Europe, and I think that that's going to continue to happen. Really, I don't think that any of the starters last night were J-League players, except for Gonda himself. I'm probably mistaken on that. But that sort of shows you the situation we're in. Looking at the World Cup squad, for example, 73% of our members came from Europe's top four leagues. So that's the balance we're dealing with right now. And I am correct that only two of our 11 starters last night hailed from the J-League. So that's the state of things. And I don't see that changing too much in the future.
And Dan, the first time I met you was actually at the Under-20 FIFA World Cup in Korea. Japan, of course, qualified for that and did reasonably well. Have any of those young players from that tournament progressed through or gotten a look in?
Yes, in fact, Ritsu Doan, who scored our third goal last night, he had a fantastic performance in that tournament. He scored the huge goal, I believe it was against Italy in the third and final group stage game, to preserve the draw, and actually scored two goals in that game to preserve the 2-2 draw and get Japan to the knockout stage. He has been a fantastic player. He's playing for Groningen. I'm probably mispronouncing that, in the Dutch First Division. And he's bound for bigger and better things. I expect that he'll be in the Bundesliga or even the Premier League within a few years. Only 20 years old, last night's goal made him the youngest player to ever score for Japan at an Asian Cup. So the future is definitely bright, and it was really important that he went to Europe at such a young age, and he's already found himself starting for a team in the first division of a respectable league, which we don't really get here. We haven't really gotten here because most Japanese players have waited until about 22, 23, 24 to go to Europe. And what we're seeing in the rest of the world is that that's too late. So hopefully Ritsu Doan is the model for future players to go over at a younger age.
Well, that's exciting about Ritsu Doan. But what about Hiroki Abe from the Champions League winning team, the Kashima Antlers? He was overlooked. What was the reasoning behind that?
I just don't think that it's quite the right time. I know that he hasn't made his full international debut. I think there was maybe also some concern that he had a very long season for Kashima at a very young age. He stood up and was counted And I think that Moriyasu is maybe considers him more on the 2020 Olympic track than, you know, the 2019 Asian Cup track. So I don't know. I don't think that his absence from the squad is a particular oversight or crime. I just think he needs a bit more time, and I think that, you know, within a year or two, he'll probably make his senior debut. I think it's just a matter of when, not if.
We're talking to Dan Orlowitz all the way from Japan on FNR. We're talking about the Asian Cup and principally the Japanese performance. How was it reviewed by many of the Japanese fans, Dan?
They were not happy with it. Well, I should say they were happy with the win. I think they were happy to see Osako score two goals. He's got a big following here. They were happy to see Doan score. But in general, fans not happy with the state of defending. I think that we just looked very hesitant whenever Turkmenistan advanced into our side of the pitch, and we were just sort of afraid to engage and making lots of dumb mistakes. It was absolutely not the best performance that we've delivered in Asia. Not the worst, because we still got the result. Say it was as embarrassing as, for example, our scoreless draw in Singapore to open 2018 World Cup qualifying. That was maybe sort of a low point at home, or the loss to UAE, I believe, the following year. But these things happen. It's a tough competition in tough conditions against teams that Japan doesn't really get a good look at. I believe the commentators mentioned that they had only really looked at a couple games worth of footage from Turkmenistan from 2018. So it's not like they're sending scouts to do that really deep research. They maybe didn't take the match as seriously as they could have, but I don't think that's a mistake they'll be making twice.
Especially after that opening goal, that contender for goal of the tournament. That went in with the speed of an Exocet missile. And although the keeper made a pretty poor effort, I think it would have beaten most keepers.
I think that if that shot happens in the J-League, under most circumstances, Gonda should be able to make the stop. I think the general response was that that was a stop that he's absolutely capable of making. He got a bad look. He was just planted in the wrong spot. Who knows? I'm not going to make excuses for him. I mean, he did say after the game that once Japan's opponents see footage of that goal, they're going to try to put the ball into that spot because they think that he won't be able to stop it. We'll see how true that is, and we'll see if he's learned. He's a player who's been through a lot in his career, and certainly not the first bad day at the office that he's had. So overall, I think that there's relief more than anything that we got the win. 3 points are 3 points, 3 goals are 3 goals, even if it should have been 3-1 instead of 3-2. And it's on to Oman, really.
Okay, well, Oman is in the distance, and it's the next match for the Blue Samurai. Thank you very much for joining us on FNR, the sports editor of the Japan Times, the one, the only, Dan Orlowitz. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, guys.